The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The Durham, the end of Daf Pei Dalem and Beis. The Gemara is discussing a Mishnah from a blad ago, Pei Gimel and Beis. The Mishnah is discussing a person who makes a neder forbidding Kohanim and Levim from benefiting from him, from his property. The question is, can they eat, can they take Truma and Master that he separates from his produce? The Mishnah says, Kohanim Kohanim Levim Nanim Li, makes a neder forbidding Kohanim and Levim from benefiting from him, Kohanim and Levim in general, Yitzlu al Karcho. They can take Truma and Maser against his will. The neder does not forbid them from taking Truma and Maser. If, however, he says, Kohanim Elu Levim Elu Nanim Li, the neder targets specific Kohanim, specific Levim, then Yitzlu Acherim, the neder is binding. They, the names Kohanim and Levim, are forbidden from benefiting from him, including from taking his Truma and Maser. Truma and Maaser can only be taken by other Kohanim and Levim. The Ar Gemara on the bottom of Daf Pei Dalet, end of Daf Pei Dalet, the Gemara, in spite of the fact that the Mishnah clearly seems to be distinguishing between the neder of Kohanim Levim in general and the neder of Kohanim Elu Levim Elu, the Gemara fails in the Havamina that the Mishnah is basically a stira. That whether you said Kohanim in general, Levim in general, or Kohanim Elu and Levim Elu, in both cases, whether the neder forbids the Kohanim in general or the specific Kohanim from being nana from Truma depends on the question of Tovas Hanah Mamon or Tovas Hanah Eina Mamon. Tovas Hanah is the right of a person who separates Truma to give it to the Kohen of his choice, the Levi of his choice. The question of Tovas Hanah Mamon or Eina Mamon is a difficult phrase to translate. Literally, it means, is it Mamon or is it not Mamon? What does it mean for it to be Mamon or Eina Mamon is very difficult, very unclear what exactly the Gemara means. In this case, the Gemara fails that the question of whether such a neder is chal, whether such a neder forbidding a Kohanim from benefiting from you, forbids them from taking truma, depends on whether Tavas Hanah is mammon or not. If Tavas Hanah is mammon, that means it's my money, the truma is considered my money somehow, and then if they take it, they're benefiting from me, from my money. If Tavas Hanah is lav mammon, then we look at the truma as not my money, so when the Kohen takes it, he's not benefiting from me. So the Gemara says, regardless of whether he said Kohanim Elu or not, either way, the question of whether the neder is binding upon the Kohanim in question should depend on whether you say Tovas Hanah Mamon or not. The Gemara says, the Reish of the Mishnah said, Kohanim Levim, when he said Kohanim Levim in general, the halacha is nanimli, then Yitlu, they can take it anyway, the neder is not binding, Alma Tovas Hanah Eina Mamon. That would imply Tovas Hanah Eina Mamon. Ema Sefer, the Gemara says, Kohanim Elu, Levim Elu, nanimli, when he names specific Kohanim, then we say Yitlu Acherim. Only other Kohanim and Levim can take the Truma. Avalahani Lo, the neder is binding of these Kohanim and Levim. Alma Tovas Hanah Mamon. So ultimately, the question should revolve, the Gemara fails in the Havamina, Muskel Rishon, the question should revolve solely around whether the neder is binding depends solely on whether Tovas Hanah is Mamon or not, and therefore the Reish and the Sefer is a stira. The Gemara then goes into a discussion of the Sugya of Tovas Hanah Mamon. At the end of the Sugya, on Daf Peihem and Aleph, the Gemara brings a sheet of Rava. Rava Amar Shani Truma Dehainu Tama Yitzlu Al Karcho Mishum De Truma Lo Chazi El LeKohanim. Truma is only suitable for consumption by Kohanim. V'kevan DeKa'atzi LeMeisra Alayu. Since he's forbidding Kohanim from eating his Truma, Shavi Afra Balma. He's rendering the Truma Afra, earth, meaning worthless. The Ran explains that Rava is saying that the Mishnah holds Tamas Hanah Mamon. So the Seifa makes a lot of sense. The Seifa, in the case where he forbade certain Kohanim or Levim, that makes sense. Tovas Hanah Mamon, and therefore the Neder is Chal, and they are forbidden to benefit from his Truma. What about the Reisha? Why can they take the Truma? Because since in the Reisha he forbade all Kohanim, so therefore the Truma becomes impossible. Nobody can eat the Truma. Truma is only right for Kohanim, and all Kohanim are now forbidden. Therefore, Shavya Afra Balma, the Ran says, Afgre Elu Tovas Hanah. It's an idea of Hefker, by saying that the only people who can eat the Truma, Kohanim, are all forbidden. In theory, that should work, because Tovas Hanah Mamon, but then nobody can eat it. So that's tantamount to Hefker. Once it's Hefker, they can eat it. That's the Sugya of the Bavli. We have a similar parallel Sugya in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi also discusses, doesn't use the word Tovas Hanah Mamon or Eina Mamon, but it goes through a similar Shakla Vitaria. The Yerushalmi instead brings in machlokes Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina says, Adam nosi masrosa b'tavas hanah. A person is allowed, is able to give away his maaser b'tavas hanah. Rav Yochanan says, "Ein adam nosu maseros betolos or no." A person is not allowed to do that. What does that mean? Rav Moshe explains, the question is, can a person give away his maaser as a quid pro quo? If someone gives something to him, then he'll give away the maaser. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you're not allowed to do that. Rabbi Yosef Bechanina says, you're allowed to do that. What does that depend on? Rabbi Moshe says, it depends on whether Tovas or Noah is Mammon or not, similar to the Bavli. Rabbi Moshe says, Rabbi Yosef Bechanina says, Adam Nosin Masrosro, that means Yochel Adam Likach Dover Ma Beshvil Tovas or Noah, because Tovas or Noah Mammon. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein Adam Nosin Masrosro, if you're not allowed to do that, Ein Rashai Likach Shum Dover Beshvil Zeh, you're not allowed to take anything for your Maaser, because Tovatana basically is Lav Mammon, Lavi Mammon. The Gemara now brings Psukim. My Tavani Rabbi Bechanina, why does he say you're allowed to do this? V'ishas Kadosh of Lo Yiyah, a person's Kadshim, a person's Truman Maaser is his. He can do with it what he wants. He can ask for, he can take something in exchange for giving them away. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Yiyah Yitnem Kulhomi Shayirta. Lo Yiyah just means you have the right to make the decision, but you're not allowed to take anything in exchange. Tovatana Lav Mammon. The Yerushalmi then goes through a very similar Shachavataria. The Yerushalmi then says, Matnisa Pliga al Resi Bechanina. The ratio of the Mishnah that says the Neder is not binding, it says, when he asked Kohanim and Levim in general, Yitnu Balkarcha. So that means that, the Bavli said that means Tovasana is Lav Mama. The Yerushalmi says, that's not like a Resi Bechanina, who says you're allowed to take something in exchange, which means Tovasana Maman. So the Yerushalmi also is saying that the ratio of the Mishnah seems to hold Tovasana Lav Maman. So the Gemara says, no, in the ratio you're saying, Ba'omer Yefshi Litim Matan L'Kalekar, I don't want to give them away at all. Once you don't want to give them away at all, the Pnei Moshe explains that Lo Shayach B'Tovas Anah, Re Yefshi Lach from Lasmo. It doesn't say Hefker, but he says, once you're saying you don't want to give them away at all, you're saying all Kalanim in general, that doesn't work. Dal Karka, they can take it. Similar to the Bavli, that the ratio, because you're not willing to give it to anybody, we hold Tovas in that moment, that's Pshat of the Seifa, but the Reisha, because you don't want to give them away at all, that's why the Neder is not binding. And the Seifa is a Raya. Teda Shukain, Tzninan Kainam Elu Vim Elu Nenim Li Yitlacher. You see in the Seifa that the Neder is binding, that means Tovas in that is Mammon, that means Yochel Adam Litin Masrosa B'Tovas in that. And the Reisha not, because you don't want to give them to anybody, that's untenable. So the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are both saying, at least according to the Pnei Moshe, that the maskana of the sugya is, at least at this point, is that the Mishnah holds Tovas Hanah Mammon, Yochel Adam Nosin Masrosu B'Tovas Hanah, and the ratio is different because you don't want to give them away to anybody. But the Yerushalmi says explicitly that if you hold Tovas Hanah Mammon, that means Nosin Masrosu B'Tovas Hanah, you're allowed to take something for giving away Maaser. The truth is, it's not really a chiddush of the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says the same thing elsewhere. Bavli and Bukharos, Sugya of Tavas Hanah. So the Sugya of, there is a din of Kohen Masiyah Beis Hagronos, a Kohen is not allowed to help out in the hope of getting Truma. He certainly can't explicitly help the Baal HaBayis in exchange for Truma. That, the Gemara says, is a terrible problem. It brings a Pasuk of Shichatem Bris Halevi. The Pasuk says, in Malachi, Vatim Sartim Radera, Chakshaltim Rabbin Batara, Shichatim Bris Halevi. You have destroyed, you have ruined the Bris Halevi, the covenant of Levi, by asking for Truma, by working for Truma, by not just accepting Truma, by grubbing for it. That's Shichatim Bris Halevi. Another Pasuk in Vayikra, it says, that's Kachiv Nechol, Zachaluv, Lo Samusu. There's an Indian of Chilul, there's an Indian of Misa. Terrible thing for a Kohen to actively try to get Truma for himself. However, the Gemara Mecharis goes on. The Gemara says, that's true. The Kohen can't actively try to get it. However, there is a din of Tovas Hanah L'Bailam. Yesh Ben Tovas Hanah L'Bailam. That means Yisrael Shifrish Truma Makiro Mati Yisrael Acher. Yisrael has Truma to distribute. Somewhere else, another Yisrael says, Holoch Sela Zeh, take a Sela, take this money from me, Tnei Ben Biti Kohen. Give the Truma to my grandson, I'm in Israel, but my daughter's son can be a Kohen. My daughter married a Kohen, their son is a Kohen, give it to him, that's Mutter. If I a Kohen, L'Kohen Aser. Kohanim have these special rules, they're not allowed to do it, they're not allowed to promote themselves. But Israel is allowed to promote a Kohen, but again, it's clear from the Gemara that the Israel himself, who has the Truma, is allowed to accept consideration in exchange for giving away his Truma. That's both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi in Arsugya. So this brings us to an interesting question. What is in general the halacha of kickbacks? a person who has control over some good, some service, some contract, what's the halacha if he takes a kickback for himself in exchange for making a decision about property which is not his? He's working for somebody else, for a community, for the public, for an employer, and he takes personal kickback for making the decision, for kicking the business, the good, the service, the job, someone's way. What's the problem with the kickback? Is there a problem at all? Perhaps surprisingly, halacha has no clear systematic doctrine of kickbacks. There's very little on this in the early poskim. We have a handful of tshuvos in the Akronim, but they don't treat the question of kickbacks in any systematic way. And they just discuss it on a case-by-case basis without referring to each other, and we can't really develop any kind of unified, consistent theory of kickbacks. We'll just discuss here several of these tshuvos. There's a tshuva in the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rav. In his case, there was a court-appointed guardian who was supposed to manage an estate. And the guardian, there was a piece of real estate, a house to rent out. He rented out the house to a tenant at below market rates in exchange for a kickback, in exchange for cash that was given to him by the tenant. The Divrei Chaim says that is gzela. He's depriving the owner of the rent that he was entitled to receive in exchange for personal consideration. He says the owner would have the right to do one of two things, to either reverse the sale and say, you're my agent, you acted against my interest, you're Mishana, you deviated from what you're supposed to be doing, and therefore anything you did is void, and I just want to reverse the tenancy. Or he says, he can tell the agent, you give me the kickback, you give me what you took, give it to me. He says, let's say the rent should have been 100, for example, and you rented it out for 70 and you took a kickback of 30. What you basically did was siphon off 30 and take it for yourself. That's my rent, you just took it from me. Give it back to me. So he looks at a kickback as simply stealing from the owner, stealing from the principal. It should have gone to the principal. You're taking it for yourself. It's Pashuk Zeilin. You have to give it back to the principal. If he wants to Mekayim the deal, if he wants the deal to remain in place and just take the kickback, he has the right to do that. But in the Divrei Chaim's case, that's a particularly egregious case because, A, the rental arrangement was below market rates, and the kickback you took can be seen as just the remainder of the rent, which should have been passed on to the owner, the principal, instead was siphoned off by you. Divrei Chaim is not discussing a case where you rented it out at market rates and you happen to have taken a kickback. You got the best deal you could have reasonably gotten, and you also got a favor for yourself. He's not discussing that case, and it's not clear that his argument would apply in such a case. There's a tshuva in the Divrei Malkiel, kind of an appalling case. It's hard to imagine what these people were thinking. It didn't even occur to them that this wasn't even their shaila. This just came up. They took for granted this was fine. The case was a Rav was leaving his position. He was making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. The custom back then, a century or two ago, often was that a Rav who was vacating a position would sell the position to the incoming candidate. Someone wanted the position, he would have to pay off the old Rav to essentially buy the chazakah of the Rabbanus from him. That was a common practice. So in this case, the outgoing Rav who was making Aliyah said, my price is 600 rubles up front in cash. Additionally, there's a tzedakah fund controlled either by your father or your father-in-law. The tshuva is a little bit inconsistent about that. Your relative controls a tzedakah fund of money that goes to support people in Eretz Yisrael. I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. My price is 600 rubles up front from your personal money, plus I want 50 rubles a year from that tzedakah fund. And nobody seems to have thought this is a problem. They seem to have thought this was a perfectly reasonable deal, to use tzedakah money of your relative to buy yourself a rabbanus. The question they asked Divrei Malkiel was, the guy decided not to make Aliyah, he wanted to come back, and the question was, can the deal be reversed? Was there a kinyan? Was it binding? So Divrei Malkiel has a tshuva discussing whether this deal is binding, whether there's a kinyan, whether it can be reversed. In the course of the tshuva, he says, wait a second, who said this aspect of the deal is kosher? Who said that you're able to buy your rabbanus by channeling tzedakah money toward the seller? He says, you're stealing. It's Gezel Gomer, he says. Doesn't explain why, just says Gezel Gomer. Then he says, maybe you'll tell me that people who gave the money gave it so that decision shall be made by this relative, and he actually deems that this Rav is a worthy candidate, so maybe it's not Gezel. So he says, even if that's what you think, he says, you're in a gabadover. Since you are buying a rabbanus for your son or son-in-law, you're in a gabadover, and you can't be a dayan. And so Yadua, he says, that a gabay tzedakah is like a dayan, that the tiber was mekabel. Since you have a position of public trust to manage public tzedakah funds, you have the status of a dayan, you have the qualifications of a dayan, you have to have the qualifications of a dayan, and if you're in a gabadover, you can't be a dayan. So the Divrei Malkiel starts by saying Gezel Gomer, which are pretty strong words, But then he kind of backs off and says, the problem is that if at least you're sure that he deserves the money, then the only problem he can think of is that you are in a gabadover, you're not qualified to make the decision. But again, this is limited to a case where you're a, this presumably is limited to a case where you're in a position of public trust, you're managing a tzedakah fund. This wouldn't necessarily apply in the in a private case. Someone is a manager, a business agent for a private firm, for a private individual. It's hard to argue that the in such a case you have the status of a dayan. We find precedent in the poskim that someone who's that the idea of shochad or of negabadover applies not just to courts, it applies to political leaders, the zayin tuvei ha'er, but it presumably does not apply in a private business commercial context. The idea of these are hilchos dayanim, a person who works as a business agent is not a dayan. So again, if you're taking the money and giving it against the wishes of the principal, against the rules of the tzedakah, you're simply stealing it, then of course that's gzeila. But assuming you are giving it in accordance with the rules of the fund, in accordance with the wishes of the employers, of your principal, you just happen to be taking a kickback for it, buying yourself a rabbanus, buying your son a rabbanus, then it's hard to see how the different Malkiel's argument would apply. One final discussion in a contemporary sefer called Tziach Yitzchak by Rav Yaakov Schwartzbert. He talks about, again, this is a case out of Eretz Yisrael, this is just, you know, the chutzpah here is stunning. A woman applied for a job, a teaching position at a school. The principal told her, there are many applicants for this job, and you really have to wait in line. However, he says, your father controls a factory, has some place of business. My son, I would like him to get a job with your father, a senior position with your father. If your father employs my son in a desirable capacity, I will feel bound by Hakar Zatov, Yira Astmo, Kimachuya Bakar Zatov, to arrange employment for you in my school as a teacher. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. One hand washes the other. This is what he told the woman. So the question the Siach Yitzchak deals with is this kosher? Is this a legitimate thing to do? So much of his tshuva deals with shochad. He argues that the principal of the school is subject to the laws of shochad. He's taking personal money to make a decision. Again, if it's a public school, if it's a school maintained and funded by the public, that's easy to hear. If it's a private business, a private school, that's clear shochad would be a relevant category, but he spends a lot of time on shochad. Additionally, he introduces the idea of Gnevis Das or Gnevis Mammon. He says Gnevis Das, the idea would be, I've heard this from other contemporary Rabbanim, that if your employer is hiring you and expects you to be acting in his best interest without any personal tendentiousness, and you have a secret agenda which you don't reveal to him, that's Gnevis Das. You're misleading him about your faithfulness. You're implying to him that you are working as his fiduciary in his interest, and really you have your own agenda. That's the question of Gnevis Das. Additionally, he says, if you don't get the best candidate for the job, if you get a second-rate candidate, or if you make a deal and you accept an inferior price, or you accept inferior merchandise in similar cases, if you actually make a decision that is objectively not in the best interest of your employer, you're actually being garnet mammon. Similar, I guess, to what we saw in the Divrei Chaim, that if you rent his property at below market rates in exchange for personal consideration, you're stealing. So that's fine. But again, that applies in a case where the decision you make is objectively not in the best interest of the principal. In a case, however, where you do make a decision which is in the best interest, you just happen to take personal consideration. So again, if it's a question of money, then you can argue that had they given that money to the principal, that would have been, by definition, a better deal for the principal. But sometimes, like in these cases where there are favors changing hands or intangibles, it isn't realistic to say that the offer would have been any better. The offer is what it is. The principal is not getting more money. You're getting a favor. So in a case where you're not necessarily taking anything away from the principal, and you're not a public official who's subject to the laws of Dayanim and Shochad and the Gabadover, it's hard to see exactly what the answer is. He constructs this idea of Gnevis Das, by not telling your principal that you have your own agenda, you're being Gnevis Daito, which is certainly plausible, but one would have liked to see a stronger precedent, a clearer basis in Shas and Poskim for such a thing. In any event, these are the three things the Poskim consider. Either gneva from the principal, if you aren't getting the best possible deal, or if you're violating his wishes. B, gnevis das, if you aren't revealing to him that you have your own agenda. And C, at least if you're a public official, you're violating the rules of hilchos dayanim, which again, there is ample precedent, Papula Charifta, an earlier precedent, other precedent like that, that not just dayanim, but even officials in position of public trust. There's actually a famous chassam sofer that Rav Schwartzberg brings, that even voters, even electors in the city who are voting for a Rav, even they have the status of Dayanim. Since they're making a decision who to elect for a Rav, that's a public question, who shall be the Rav of the city. Even the electors have the status of Dayanim, and they also have the prohibitions of Shochad and of expressing their view L'Shem Shemayim. But that's fine when you're acting on a question of public interest. When you're simply a private citizen, and the decision you make is not objectively, directly depriving your principal of any actual money or any actual benefit, it's just a question of you taking consideration, all we seem to be left with is Gnei B'Sdas, that you're not revealing your hidden agenda to him. And it's not clear, there isn't really a very strong precedent for that. Again, perhaps surprisingly, there is no strong framework in the Poskim for how to deal with kickbacks. It falls into these various categories, but we don't have any consistent, any strong tradition for what exactly the problem is in the general case of a kickback of making private gain from the business of another, from working in the employ as the agent of another.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.